Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith. There was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim in the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, son of Elihu, son of Tohu, son of Zuph, an Ephrathite. He had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. Now this man used to go up year by year from his city to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord of hosts at Shiloh, where the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were priests of the Lord. On the day when Elkanah offered sacrifices, he would give portions to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he gave a double portion, because he loved her, though the Lord had closed her womb. And her rival used to provoke her grievously, to irritate her, because the Lord had closed her womb. So it went on, year by year. As often as she went up to the house of the Lord, she used to provoke her. Therefore Hannah wept, and would not eat. And Elkanah, her husband, said to her, "Hannah, why do you weep, and why do you not eat, and why is your heart sad? Am I not more to you than 10 sons? After they had eaten and drunk in Shiloh, Hannah rose. Now Eli, the priest, was sitting on the seat beside the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. She was deeply distressed, and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. And she vowed a vow and said, "O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, but will give to your servant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall touch his head." As she continued praying before the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was speaking in her heart. Only her lips moved, and her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli took her to be a drunken woman. And Eli said to her, "How long will you go on being drunk? Put your wine away from you." But Hannah answered, "No, my lord. I am a woman troubled in spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have been pouring out my soul before the Lord. Do not regard your servant as a worthless woman, for all along I have been speaking out of my great anxiety and vexation." Then Eli answered, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition that you have made to him." And she said, "Let your servant find favor in your eyes." Then the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. They rose early in the morning and worshipped before the Lord. Then they went back to their house at Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. And in due time Hannah conceived and bore a son. And she called his name Samuel, for she said, "I have asked for him from the Lord." Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Into your hands, O Lord, I commend my spirit.
Into your Into your hands I commend my spirit.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Behold, children are a gift from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Despite the attitude of so many in our society, this is true. Children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. God Himself declares this explicitly in Psalm 127. Why is it then that we hear with regard to Hannah, the Lord had closed her womb? Her infertility was not simply the general result of sin, which is ultimately behind every physical malady, every ache and pain, every illness and disability. Hannah's inability to conceive was not simply part of what St. Paul describes in Romans. Creation subjected to futility, in bondage to decay, groaning as in the pains of childbirth. No. What was going on with Hannah was the Lord's doing. The Lord had closed her womb. We might be tempted to ask why, and hypothesize that something she had done or failed to do caused this. Yet there isn't anything in the text to suggest that there was anything about Hannah that prompted the Lord to close her womb. Jesus responds to his disciples when they asked him about the man who had been born blind seems to apply in this case as well. It was not that this woman sinned, or her parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in her. Indeed, throughout the scriptures, when an apparently barren woman gives birth, it seems that God is underlining the truth that children are a blessing from Him. And whether the child is Isaac, or Joseph, or Samson, or John, this child will have a special role in the Lord fulfilling His promise of salvation through the ultimate prophesied offspring of a woman. Unlike Sarah and Abraham, or Manoah and his wife, or Zechariah and Elizabeth, Hannah had no promise from the Lord to which she could cling. He hadn't told her that she would conceive and give birth. But she knew that He is the author of life, knew that God alone is able to give the barren woman a home and make her the joyous mother of children. And so, troubled in spirit, Hannah poured out her soul before the Lord out of great anxiety and vexation. At the entrance of the Lord's sanctuary at Shiloh, she vowed a vow and said, "O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, but will give to your servant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall touch his head." We are rightly uncomfortable about the thought of making a bargain with God, promising, "If only you do this for me, Lord, then I'll do that for you." The Lord is certainly not subject to being bribed. There's nothing that He needs from us, nothing we can offer Him that isn't already His by right. And so, hearing Hannah's prayer, we want to consider what sort of prayer it is. First, we note that it is a prayer of one who trusts in the Lord. Hannah comes to the Lord confident that He is gracious and merciful, both willing and able to provide for her and her need. In its essence, her prayer is a prayer for mercy, that the Lord would take away her affliction, specifically that he would give her a son. And her promise is to offer him a sacrifice of thanksgiving. The dynamic here is nothing other than what the Lord would urge and declare in Psalm 50. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. The sacrifice of thanksgiving, Hannah promises, is one that recognizes the Lord as the giver and dedicates his gift to her solely to his servants. Hannah's trust was not misplaced. The Lord answered her prayer, first through his priest Eli, saying to her, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition that you have made him." And then, in remembering Hannah, as she had asked and giving her a son, she named him Samuel, confessing that God had heard her prayer. The faith of Hannah is revealed more fully in her Magnificat, which the Virgin Mary echoes in her visit to Elizabeth. There is certainly a sense that in the conception and birth of Samuel, arguably the one who was the final judge of Israel, a powerful prophet of the Lord who would anoint Israel's first kings, that in the conception and birth of Samuel, the Lord was again prefiguring one in whom all the families of the earth would be blessed, the one who would bring humanity rest from the work and toil of their hands, arising from the ground which the Lord had cursed, the one who would bruise the serpent's head. Finally, after centuries of waiting, when the time had fully come, God sent forth this one, his son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. As someone has written, once again the Lord opened the closed womb of a virgin, and to us a child was born, to us a son was given, one who would deliver his people and be anointed as high priest, prophet, and king came into the world. It was a wonderful and amazing answer to the prayers of the people. Christ has come and we are blessed, for he brings us his peace. Yet the road was long and arduous for this long-awaited, much-prayed-for one. He carried the great burden of our sin as he journeyed to the cross with our load. He picked up our burden and laid down his life. Darkness came and the earth shook as he cried out, "It is finished." The tomb was his grave, and the Lord shut him in. The prayers of the righteous were offered up in great distress. The followers mourned and tore their clothes as they suffered terrible grief. But in 3 days, the Lord threw open what he had closed. After 3 days, the stone was thrust aside, and the Son of God came forth from the grave. The closed womb, the closed tomb, burst into life. The enemy of death has been overcome. The power of the evil one has been bound. The corruption of sin no longer clings to the faithful. Christ Jesus is victorious. The enemies are scattered. Christ Jesus is victorious. Our tombs shall also burst open with life, and we shall be planted in the house of the Lord. Thank God. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.